Hello, team. Just a disclaimer that during this podcast, Carolyn and I actually interchanged the words reflector and projector. So you might get a bit confused at times because we are obviously in a space together. We are, our energies are merging. I'm calling her a reflector. She's calling me a projector. We're going vice versa. But essentially, honor this podcast for the energy that it is and just ignore the labels of reflector and projector. This is a Reflector Reflections podcast. My name is Annie. Join me as we sample around the world the amazing humans that exist in the land of human design, jinkies, astrology, and metaphysics. In this series, we are showcasing guests in the human design community and bringing recognition to them in the work that they do in the human design space and get to know them a little better and how they experience and navigate their unique design. Today's beautiful conversation is with Carolyn Southwell, a fellow Aussie, a 2-4 emotional projector and guide for human design basics. Welcome, beautiful soul.
Hi, I'm delighted to be here.
we're chuckling because we had a little bit of a moment where I called her a 6-2 and she's like, I'm a 2-4. How dare you?
Oh, I didn't say how dare you.
I felt that in my body, just going, how dare you say that? Oh. Reflector. Welcome.
Thanks.
I love that you're here. I love that we're having this chat.
Yeah.
How are you feeling?
Good. As we were talking about in the preamble, this is going to be interesting with two undefined throats to see what comes out.
I've learned to shut the fuck up a lot of the time. Like, I've learned that I don't have to say all the things I need to say.
Mm.
But as we do, let's talk about you and discovering you and your journey and how human design found you or you found human design. Can you take us back, friend?
Mm-hmm. March 2014. So 9.5 years ago, I was doing a swap. I was already life coaching and I was coaching a friend who was a body psychotherapist, and she just had a chart reading with Karen Curry Parker, and she had said, oh my God, Carolyn, I think you'd really like this human design thing. And so she invited me, lo and behold, to like look up my chart. And so I looked it up. And I expected that because her and I were quite similar, she was a 3-5 generator, that we would have a whole lot of similarities. And when I looked at my chart, I was like, I'm a projector. I'm like so different to you. And what does it even mean? And it was really before, you know, I think with the transits and, you know, the whole world having to stay at home in 2020, the human design world blew up. But back in 2014, there was so little information. I'm like, and I really, at that point in time, couldn't afford and couldn't justify, because I'd never heard of this system before. It's not like I was surrounded by people who were like, oh yeah, it's totally worth your while to get a reading. And so it's like hundreds of dollars. I've never heard of this thing before. I'm like, I'm not going to do that. So I basically just like pondered it for about 2 seconds, thought this is weird, and basically shoved it in a file for about 6 months and mostly ignored it. And then... Well, the story continues. Shall I tell you more?
Yes. We want to know it all. We want all the details, friend. Come on.
Well, so it was so interesting that several months later, in typical projector style, I had a guy who I was seeing who was really struggling with life, and I got some intuitive hit that said, maybe there's something in his chart thing, maybe we should look up his chart. I still don't know anything about it, right? But for some reason, my intuition leads me to look it up. And he was, I can't remember his profile anymore, but he was the sacral manifesting generator. And there was something in me, like, as if anyone who knows anything about projectors will be like, oh, well, of course you got into interest in this because you were interested in the other. Like, I really wanted to understand this guy. And then that sort of woke me up to like, oh, hang on, he's really different to me. That's really interesting. And so then I was interested to study him. because I had somebody else to study, you know, and he wanted to learn it from me, you know. I'm like, okay. So very quickly I started sort of getting my hands on whatever content I could get, and pretty quickly I thought, oh, I'm doing my clients a disservice if I don't look up their charts. And so then with the clients that I had had for a long time, I said, hey, I'm looking at this really weird thing, but I like, can I tell you about it? And it went from there. And 9.5 years later, I get sick of things usually pretty quickly, and I usually go through phases. This phase seems to be lasting a very long time.
I love that you say that, because as a reflector, there's a constant like chopping and changing of interests, but it's something that just it keeps being here. It's just like, it won't go away. Even when I go, I'm just going to have a break from you, it's still in my orbit. So I love that you say that. And I'm very interested to hear about this process when you went through this with this person. That's that projector aspect of that, even those open centers, I suppose. Have you always felt that way, that you have this awareness that was outside of your thinking bits?
I think one of the challenges that most people run into before they find human design is that it's so easy for us to think that the way we experience life must be just how life is. That it's so easy for us to project onto other people. And I'm sure that some people manage to work this out on their own, but I think I see from the vast majority of people that they talk in terms of, you can do this and this is how it is, and that we just project how we're being in the world and assume that that is what it's like to be human, and not realizing we're an N of one. It's like, no, this is how Carolyn does life. So I didn't realize until I got a better understanding of my chart, no, nobody does it like this. So the things that I'm experiencing, I didn't realize that other people couldn't like see and sense the flow of energy the same way I could. I didn't realize that other people didn't see the, like, I can see the way that people are tripping over themselves, like it's in flashing neon lights. So like my intuitive ability to be able to see how to guide people, I didn't realize that everyone else couldn't see that. And it wasn't until I understood myself and way more different configurations of charts that I was like, oh no, these other people can't see all this stuff, and they can see or sense this other stuff that I can't see or sense. How interesting. So no, in short answer, no, I had no clue. I was like just going around being Carolyn, not realizing that everyone else's experience was so different. Yeah.
So that journey of discovering human design and then, you know, pulling it up, looking at it, figuring out, oh my God, holy crap, this is who I am. What are those first emotions that you felt? First discovery?
Yeah, I think one, because there was not a lot of information that was readily sort of accessible. There was not heaps that was easily accessible, and there was still so much jargon. There weren't many people explaining it simply at all, the way that there is now. So for years, the understanding that I had of projectors was that of a bitter victim that is not very powerful and can't do very much. It took me years to work through to finding something, a more empowered, simple understanding. So for years, I felt pretty rubbish about it, actually. And yeah, I mean, my initial feeling when I saw my chart and how different it was to my friends was of like, it was a little bit shocking. It was a little bit off. It was a little bit destabilizing, because I thought her and I had a lot in common. And now I understand that we do, but not in how our aura behaves. But I still didn't really understand what it meant. And because I didn't have, for years and years and years, I wasn't able to find really empowered projector role models. I was being taught what it means to be a projector by people who weren't projectors and who really had seen really tired, broken, lacking hope, lacking vitality. They were getting all of these really challenged projectors as clients. So then that caused this story that they taught about projectors to also be this like, oh, poor you, you poor reflector, you know? And the thing is that I have met some projectors that, I mean, we only have to look at how many presidents or prime ministers or leaders of countries have been projectors to go, who don't know anything about human design, but are freaking nailing it, to go, oh, actually, no, there's a, on this continuum of disempowered to incredibly powerful and using power to empower other people as opposed to dominate over people, which projectors can also do, there is everyone in between. But I was hearing too much of the narrative at this end, and I wasn't seeing enough of the narrative of like what it looks like when a projector is freaking killing it, in all, you know, if we could use that term in a way that was not so violent, but just doing so well. So I don't know if I answered your question, but I get pretty, I'm pretty interested in sharing different teachings and languaging and support for projectors. There's my tribal circuitry coming out. Support for projectors that help them to see, actually, waiting for the invitation is not a curse. And no, you're not broken. And, you know, if you happen to be a projector with a lot of openness as well, like, that's not a curse. Like, one of the most beautiful projectors I know over in WA is a mental projector. She's got two centers defined. You know what I mean? She has a lot of openness. It's a pretty challenging configuration. She's awesome. Do you know what I mean? So there's, I think that there is space still for simpler and more empowering communication about and for reflectors. Sorry, projectors and reflectors.
I know.
But we've had conversations about that.
I just want to honor your journey, because years ago when you got into this and just what you were speaking into there, it's a very, very similar space that I dropped into as a reflector, of getting into this 4 or 5 years ago and just going, what is all this crap? And I can imagine just from what you were just saying then, that's how you felt too. It's just like, what is all this crap? This is not my lived experience. They're telling me I've got to do this and I've got to be that. But it's a little bit more than that. And I guess I have a projector daughter, and she is the most magnificent and amazing thing in my life. And she's only 8. And through human design, I've been able to sort of say to her sometimes, because she's splenic, and I've spoken a lot about this, I can actually, I know there's, it sounds like it's codependency. I wonder, I think, oh shit, am I codependent? But I'm like, I'll ask her, how do you feel about this space? How are you going? And she can tell me, because sometimes I don't have the awareness. I can feel what I feel, but it's I don't want to say higher level, but I want to say it's a more an external level, where she brings me right into this space of just going, nope. And I'm like, I'm honoring that. And I found projectors in my space are very like that for me. It's just like, I'm sort of like out here in the ethers, and they're the ones that kind of like pull it in. So, you know, when we look at the projector aura and it's just like funnels, that's how it feels to me. It's just like, I respect your words, I respect what you're saying to me because I'm a little bit out here. You're here.
Yeah.
So,
well, and I think there's two things I want to reply to that. One of them is, this is what I say to projectors of like why it is so essential that we're in relationships with people who want us to be in this space, because we are so penetrating that, you know, Annie better want Carolyn to be in her face because she's going to be. And that's why it's so uncomfortable when we can see as projectors deeply into somebody and somebody doesn't want our guidance. We need to fucking honor that and like not be all up in their face, not be telling them they're, you know, that thing that happened when you were here, this is what, how it's like, people don't want to know. If they want to know, they'll invite you, you know? And I think it's so it's almost this like on off. You either really like the projector and you really want them in this space, or you really don't like the projector, you know, and you really don't want them in their space, you know? So I ended up changing a whole lot of the way I communicate online to make it really easy for people to opt out very early on when they come in contact with my stuff. I'm like, if you don't like me, there's lots of other people you can learn from. So please go do that, because it's better for them and it's better for me if I'm only communicating with the people who want my penetrating insights, because I'll do beautiful work with them and I'll just fucking piss off the people who don't want me in their space. And it's not good for me either. It doesn't feel good, you know? So that's to that point. So thank you. So I'm so glad that this projector gets to have you as mum, where you so deeply recognize and invite her wisdom, and invite her penetrating insights for you. Because it's can be
sometimes
a really
it's
beautiful...
very uninvited, and that's let's be honest here, it can be like, okay, I get you know a lot more, or you sense a lot more, but can you please not come in uninvited? You know, it's a huge thing. Having a lot of, actually not just her, but even her best friends are actually all projectors, and it's just like, oh, I keep put all these girls together, and it's just like, what is this? But speaking to the reflector child, because this podcast is about you. I want to explore you. Talk about Carolyn. Can we go back if you don't mind sharing?
I want to hear about Carolyn
growing up, if you wouldn't mind.
Yeah. Well, and actually there's one other thing I want to point to, and it kind of ties back into that, is, you know, you were talking about how when you dropped into this space, you were finding so many people tell you things that didn't match your lived experience and going, well, this is rubbish. And my problem was, and based on how I navigated childhood, that I put people on pedestals who didn't belong there. So I took on a whole lot of that rubbish. I took on a whole lot of that disempowering messaging, and some of it absolutely felt true. And some of it still continues to be true, but the way that it was presented to me was so disempowering, so limiting, that I actually was the sort of person who didn't fight that, didn't say, actually, no, this is rubbish. And I was like, oh, well, this is how I have to be in the world. And I reckon I not quite lost, but it like impacted me in a really big way. And my progress in business, in my work, for years, because I thought there was so much of the I can't narrative. And I know that a lot of that would have come from being the eldest of three children with a mum and dad who are both generators, and a younger sister who's a generator, and a younger brother who's a manifesting generator. And so I grew up with a house full of energy. and I really, like, one of the biggest things was struggling to make friends, and just not knowing how to value myself. A projector who doesn't know how to value themselves is going to have a hard time in life. And so I didn't know how to value myself enough to wait. I didn't know how to value myself enough to not beg for attention. And so I mean, my family's really loving. I was chatting to my mum just before we jumped on. You know, they love me. They don't really understand me. but they, you know, there was a lot of things that I have a defined head in Ajna, and that sort of acts like mental willpower almost. So I'm very able to use my thinking to push myself forward. So I have tried so many things over the years that literally was just so much a manifestation of my mind going, but I should be able to do this, and let me try this, and let me try this, and let me try that. It helps that I've also got two motors defined, like I've got the root and solar plexus defined, so I've got some juice there to play with. But my mind would get all these ideas about, well, just go make it happen, and you have to do this way, and you should be able to work hard, and a lot of the things that many of us were indoctrinated to believe. But I tried a lot of things. Oh my God, my journey in business for the first few years before I really understood how to live my design. I wasted so much time and energy and money, and, you know, if hope was a resource, hope, like I burnt so much trying to do all the things that people said I should be able to do, and I believe them. So yeah, I'm grateful that I had a reasonably loving childhood environment to grow up in, and parents who loved me and still do, siblings who loved me and still do. But it was, I think for any projector child, but I think this is true for reflectors and manifestors as well, any non-sacral child who grows up in a house full of sacral beings, it's really easy for us to not be understood, and for us to think that there's something wrong with us, and we should be, like, for that, the longest time, that was my narrative of, there's something wrong with me and I just have to try harder, or there's something wrong with me and I'm broken and I need a drug to fix me, you know. And it's only really been in the last few years, as I have really sunk more and more into my design, that I'm like really understanding my strengths and my brilliance and my unique way of navigating the world, and understanding how to be more me. And really, I think, Annie, this is a key one, is like, every time I sink deeper and deeper and deeper into, and I teach my projector clients this all the time, of like, your entire job is to work out who are your people and serve them and love and let go of everyone else. Because if they're your people, you're here to serve them in the way and the degree that you want and they want. And if they're not your people, which is going to be most of them, most people are not your people, just love them and let them go.
Yeah.
And so I'm so much more peaceful going, oh, most people won't like me. Great. Let me just find out who are the ones that do, because they're my people and they're the ones I'm here to guide. The end.
Well, I love you and I think you're amazing. And I want to acknowledge little Caroline, projector Caroline, growing up with all of that sacral energy. And as we get older, isn't it a beautiful thing where we have to, you start the deconditioning process, you know, in human design, it's all about the deconditioning process, but there's so much more to it than that. It's just us figuring out who the fuck we are. And you've been doing that. You've been doing that since prior to discovering human design, wading through, who am I outside of all of this? I've been doing the same. I think most people who listen to this are all doing the same. We're all trying to figure who the fuck we are. And we put labels on it. Yep, you're a projector, I'm a reflector. But at the end of the day, we're just trying to find who we are outside of everybody else's opinions. And when we can kind of start to feel that, it feels really good.
Mm.
It feels really good.
Mm.
And so I love these conversations because, and I honor you and I thank you for sharing that about yourself, because that is what it is. It's not about just you being a projector, again, me being a reflector, or your parents being generators. It's just about us finding us. And I also appreciate you saying, not everybody's our cup of tea. We all got different, you know. I love your fast, you know, like, I guess it's an Australian thing, isn't it? You just speak the truth. You're just like, wow, have you had a look at this? And I'm like, I like that. I'm a fifth line. So to me, it's just like, maybe it's just, you're two to my five. It's mm-hmm. just like, well, you're practical. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you for not wishy-washying this around and just going, psh, how can I be of service? Here you go. Want this? Here you go. Anyway.
Yeah, and I want to acknowledge, like, my mum's side of the family is Dutch as well, and the Dutch are like, if you know, if you've spent any time with anyone Dutch, they're about as blunt as Germans. And I say that, and I love Dutch people and I love German people. So if you're listening to this and you're of either of those backgrounds, Austrian, I'm sure, is probably similar. It's like, I love you, right? But their bluntness, the directness, the like get to the pointness, I think that's even more the Dutchness than it is, you know, my Australian upbringing. And I love that part of me. Yeah. Because I'm like, life is too short to beat around the bush.
Going back a little bit into, you know, honouring process, like I speak a lot to reflectors about, you know, when you first discovered this, how did you start to navigate your own journey? How did you as a projector start to navigate your own journey? What changes did you have to make, Carolyn, to, you know, that's the strategy, wait for the invitation. How did you first start implementing this, if you don't mind sharing with us?
Well, and actually, this is why I ended up incorporating a second tool so heavily into my coaching practice, is because I remember I was living in Bali at the time, and I was waiting for a few days to have emotional clarity to make decisions as an emotional authority. That wasn't too hard because that kind of felt true, and I could just kind of come up with language. So as long as I caught myself not jumping into things, then it was easy enough to just decide to do that. But as you point out, the like waiting for the invitation thing, far out, that took me so long. And I still am finding places where I'm heavily deconditioned over here, and then I'm still conditioned not to wait for an invitation over here. So anyone who suggests that it's like a linear process or you can do it in a short period of time, rubbish. That's not true. So I remember where I was at the point where I had this realization of, I can see the picture in front of me of where I was. And I started looking up EFT, emotional freedom techniques. I'd had brief exposure to it a handful of years earlier. And so I guess my intuition was like, okay, well, you need some other way to be able to break this. And I don't know how I knew, but some part of me knew. Thanks, intuitive circuitry, the individual. Oh, I couldn't even tell you actually which gate it was, but something. I have two splenic gates. So something fed me this, like, this is what you need. So I just realized, like, it doesn't matter how much I understand about waiting for the invitation mentally, cognitively, I couldn't get my body to do it. And I knew that this, I can see Ra's quote in front of me, follow strategy and inner authority for 7 years and you'll be as enlightened as Buddha. Makes me want to strangle him. It's, you know, and if anyone listening to this podcast thinks that you can just wait 7 years to decondition and not do anything extra, I'm sorry to be the messenger of bad news, but that's not how it works. So I started learning more about tapping, and I went through over the last 7-8 years since then, I don't even know how many hundreds of hours of tapping I've done, and different versions. I became certified in EFT in the process. I have Just studied more and more different ways to do it better and better. Very typical of Gate 18. How can we do this better? And how can we do this better? And I think this could work better. And that bit doesn't work very well. Let's improve that. And that bit doesn't work very well. Let's improve that. So, you know, the way that
speaking about you, you're speaking about me there.
Oh no, me. Me, yeah, me, me.
It's like,
No. I'm very careful to apply my corrective energy to other people these days. I used to be really bad at it. Fastest way to lose friends. Fastest way to not make friends in the first place. Let Gate 18 drive the vehicle. but yeah, so I'm always seeing the way things can be corrected. So I've done that in terms of the way that I communicate human design, and but I've also done it in the way that I have used tapping as a tool and which versions I've chosen to study over that period of time. And so the thing that has helped me the most, I would say it's 70 or 80% just deconditioning through tapping and versions of that, finding patterns and releasing them. And then the other 20 or 30% is really pondering and looking for different perspectives on what does it actually mean to wait for the invitation. And the way I teach it in, like, to my clients and in my courses is very different from the standard party line, because I don't agree with the standard thing of you only have to wait for the big things and in the little things you can do whatever you want. No, that's not true either. My life improved so much by looking at invitation on a much granular level and everywhere I was in relationship with people. Even to do this interview, it's like it was the third time that you had come to me with something of like direct that I could call an invitation before I was like, okay, she's serious about wanting me on the show and it's time and I've had enough time to consider it. And it's like, so even on these so-called little things, my life has improved so much, so much. And it's probably the two biggest messages I have for projectors is, one, really understand what it means to wait for the invitation and how to do it really well, because it will change your life. And the other one is, whether it's tapping or some other way, find a way to decondition and do it like your life depends on it. Like every day, the way you eat and sleep, take it that seriously. And just like you're not going to eat for 4 hours straight, you're not going to tap for 4 hours straight or do breath work for 4 hours straight or do embodied movement practices, but you're going to do little bits and your life will change like nobody's business. And there'll be an equivalent for all of the other types. But of course, my understanding of projectors is pretty robust at this point in time.
And I love that. I love that you just spoke into the fact that you got to that point of yourself as a projector and just looked outside and just went, nope, nope. And you pulled it in. And it's a real reflection to me right now, because that's exactly how a lot of us as reflectors are. We're just like, we're seeing a lot of this shit out there. Shit, I say lovingly, air quoting. As my Australian isn't coming out, it's not all shit. It's just, what can we say? When we say shit, it's just like crap. You know, it's just like, it's not congruent. And you just going, I needed to honor this process for myself. And I needed to really take a step inward and tapping and being in your body is so aligned with my process as well. In this is why I'm sitting here right now today having this podcast and doing all the things that I do, is because I saw something that didn't match and I just went, it's not quite right. So I love that. Thank you for sharing that, because it just makes it so much better. And as somebody who has a projector child, to hear you say that, because we often go, oh, well, I've got this, or my partner's a projector, or I'm a projector, and we look for resources. And then it's like, oh, wait for an invitation. What does that actually mean? You know, and then we say, and we teach them that, oh, you need to wait to be invited. But you were just saying there about how you really embodied the invitation process. Mm-hmm. So I love that. I just really want to honor you on that. Just say there's so much more to just saying, wait for an invitation, as for reflectors, so much more than saying, wait a lunar cycle.
Well, and people need to understand how to apply it. Like, I reckon if I open my door to reflectors and said any single reflector to projectors, and I said any single projector on the planet who wants to ask me a question, go ahead. I reckon 50% of the questions would be about, what does it mean to wait for the invitation? How do I do it in this situation? How do I do it in that situation? What does it look like? Do I have to wait? Do I only have to wait for the big things? Well, what about this? How come my relationship with my partner sucks so much? Blah, 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 blah. Like, because people don't understand the power of waiting for the invitation in all of the smaller day-to-day things. You know, I say, like, there was a reason that I created an entire course on waiting for the invitation, and I still keep creating more YouTube videos to speak to, because somebody asks, well, how do I do it in this situation? I'm like, oh, well, I could, that's good, because that adds to the body of understanding of that. And sometimes I have to ponder it. I'm like, I haven't been in that situation before. What would I do? What would it look like? But I think part of the reason that there's so much rubbish, there's so much shit, to use your word, your perfect word for the situation, is because people are doing what I did a lot of in the beginning. Let me just call myself out. Is, and we get excited. So many of us, I say we get excited when we learn about human design. And then those of us who have, you know, especially as much teaching energy as I have, you know, I learnt, and then I was like ready to teach before I'd even had like 2 seconds to embody any of it. So then all we end up doing is reteaching the limited perspectives of what we've learnt. And the most, like, I have some projectors that I learned from who have been in design way less time than me, but they were really fierce about experimenting. And they refused to put people on pedestals, and they would take the information in, and then they would use their body, all third lines. They'd use their body to bang into reality and work out what was true. And I just have so much respect for people who do that, because then the quality of work that we share in the world, it genuinely adds to the power of what we have in the community to be of service to each other. But when we just take a course and then repeat it, barely changing any of the language, without having a chance to use our actual human body to go, is this true for me? If it is true, what does it look like when I do it? What does it feel like? And I just, now I have so little interest in, like you, I see stuff online and I just shake my head. There are so many people now, especially since, you know, Pluto transited in 2020 and everyone went inside for COVID. The human design world exploded, and it's good in terms of the fact that there are so many more resources available for people that didn't exist, you know, back when I started, and for anyone who started even earlier than me. But it's difficult for the newbie to human design to be able to discern who knows what they're talking about, unless they've already done a truckload of deconditioning work before they find human design. And if they haven't, then it's really hard, because there are people who are very big names in the industry who I, you know, publicly will say, actually, how about you look at this person instead? And privately, if one of my clients ask about it, I'll be like, heck no, don't listen to that person for this reason and this reason and this reason, and here's a better resource instead. Because I'm not interested in, how do I say this? I think I have gate 46 defined twice in Saturn and Jupiter. And anyone who knows what that means knows what that means. It means I'm really interested in embodiment. So, you know, I'm always open. Like, I have great teachers who are newer to human design than me, but they're fucking embodied. They tell me something and it comes out of their mouth and their body has lived it. I'm like, oh, good. But I can feel the difference. I can feel whether somebody I found yesterday, I'm like, woo, spidey senses go off. Yeah. Oh, this one knows what she's talking about. Fabulous. What else has she got to say? What's she got to say about this thing that I couldn't understand, rah? Or one of my previous teachers said something that didn't sit well. What does this person say about that? Yeah.
And I think that's a really beautiful segue into the fact that it is about our own unique design. And we can often get caught in this space of just going, well, I need to look to the new teacher, or I need to look to this person, or this person's doing this. This person clearly knows what they're talking about. It's just like, well, no, they're just talking. They're not living, because all you're seeing is their shit online. Like, all you're seeing is their stuff. You're seeing their, you know, that they're real. But it's just like, until you actually like draw it, write it, be it, live it, and be in your own space, opposed to just like, you know, scrolling Instagram or Facebook or whatever it is, how are you supposed to embody it? Mm. How are you supposed to discern who actually knows more than you do? Because I don't think anybody knows more than we do, because it's our unique experiment. It's our unique design. And we can often eject outside of ourselves, gate 48 right there, but, you know, and go, oh, well, this person clearly, because they've got 25 years or they've got 11 years, or even you got 9 years on, you know, are you better than me? No one's better. I don't, you know, and I love what you just said there. You've encountered people who have been living their design less than you, but they embody it. It doesn't matter that they, I think that's a projection and a perception there. I think we all navigate things to the best that we can, but the most important, sorry for jumping in here a little bit aggressively in my fifth line, but I'm just like, nope. I've learned this the hard way of just going, I refuse. I love what you were saying there. I refuse to put anybody on a pedestal, because we're all navigating it in our own weird way. And in the past, human design's always been about, oh, well, you know, you're 11 years in, so you must be better than me. She's like, that's bullshit.
Yeah. And that was driven home for me when I had the privilege of learning from somebody recently who learned directly from Ra and has been doing human design for 25 years. And I'm like, oh, no. Yeah. They know, this person knows a lot, but the way that it's being transmitted is not digestible. It's not accessible. It's not usable. And is it just that some people might argue, well, he's not a new fractal, he's not the right person for you. But it was such a reinforcement for me of how vital the deconditioning process is. But also that, like you said, we have to all do it our own way, but we do need access to quality information. And that's one of the things that I have continued to do, is look for different teachers again and again and again, who, and very much driven by my gate 18, but everyone's going to do it differently. It's like, who's explaining this better? You know, who else is explaining it in a more empowered way? Who else is explaining it in a simpler way? Who else is giving me the 5-minute version instead of the 1-hour version to explain the same one fucking concept? I don't need to know how clever you are. I want to know if you can transmit the idea to me in a way that I can understand and then go and start to experiment with, you know?
And you know what? Not everyone's going to feel that way either. Like, having a conversation. Not everyone's going to want to learn that way. And that might be your mutative response. It might be the fact that I've got a lot of individual circuitry. There might be a lot that happens in that. Other people like the slow process. So I think.
Well, and also like, you know, I'm right brain, right mind. People who, you know, a quad left is possibly far more likely to go, that person's my teacher, I'm going to learn everything from them. And then they still might not go anywhere else. And
have you been speaking to my husband?
No. but I am thinking of other, you know.
Right, a right and a left.
Oh, yes. Yeah, but I mean, they, you know, like the leftness does prefer a lot more of the structure and like, let me find my one teacher. And like you said, it's, I mean, I tried doing that for a while. And it's like at some point I had to, and I continue to learn about the importance of taking people off pedestals, because it's been a, I think it's, you know, if it's not a lifelong lesson, it's a like a big fucking chunk of this life is learning how to, you know, the importance of taking people off pedestals and going, hang on, what does Carolyn think? You know, including accessing all of the parts of me, including all of my intuitive wisdom that already knows if somebody knows what they're talking about. And, you know, if they're brilliant at this thing, but I shouldn't listen to anything they say over here, great, I'll just ignore that bit and I'll like really zoom in and appreciate this bit. So one of the wisest things I did was stop paying attention to whether somebody has, you know, feeling for how embodied somebody is and how correct it feels in my body when that person is talking and teaching versus they've been doing it for 3, 9, 11, 25 years, because that's what I'm more interested in. And I get reminded when I, you know, I remember having somebody who was a really big fan of my work buying a session as a gift for somebody else. And I very rarely do this. It's because the person receiving it has to recognize and value me. If they don't, it's a waste of time. Doesn't matter how much the buyer values me. If the person receiving it doesn't, it's just a waste. But this person was a 24-year-old projector running an amazing business, had never heard about human design before. And I had almost nothing I could teach her because she was already living such a high expression of who she is. I'm like, I should be the one paying her. I'm like, I should be the one sitting there listening to the 24-year-old that's running this massive team and this massive business that's teaching and empowering people all over the country. Like, she doesn't need human design. She's already living it, you know? And so for me, that is such a teacher to, you know, it's why I spend so much time now helping people understand the deconditioning aspect. Because people can study human design for decades and still not live it. But if people have deconditioned, they don't even need human design. So I'm like, let's get the deconditioning bit right if we have to put focus on one place or the other.
And our new little people are very unique in their own selves. And it's one of the reasons, just saying, I really appreciate you for this. It's one thing that you've brought into my life, just knowing you, is your authenticity. And you're just bang, there it is. And I love it. There's no bullshit with you. Just when you and I go back and forth, it's just like you feel very wholesome to me. And I just thank you for being a part of my new life. But speaking into that aspect of the courses that you've done, the courses that you're doing, this human design basics space that you have. You've done all the designs, you teach into this space, and you've just recently launched this reflector course, which, amazing, well done. And again, publicly saying this, I really respect that you reached out to numerous reflectors and asked, is this okay? Is this right? We value you very much for doing that, because it is a big thing that no one knows any other type. We can kind of feel into it, but no one knows any other type. Hey, fuck us reflectors. We still don't know who the fuck we are. So we're still figuring it out. Speak to us about the work that you do, dear soul.
So there's basically two aspects. There's the coaching and the courses. So the courses is good for, the courses are good. For people who are either on a very low budget, which, let's face it, there's lots of countries around the world that don't make as much money as you and I do, And or for people who are very new to the space and just need to learn some of the new stuff before they get sort of tailored coaching. And so the courses are designed so that I don't have to teach all the reflectors, for example, all the beginning stuff that's all going to be the basics that everyone needs to learn in the beginning. So it's, I just took all that stuff and I put it in a course. And then the coaching, my favorite humans to work with are the ones who already have a reasonable understanding of human design. And that might just be that they're a first line who's been digging for a few months, or, you know, like one of my humans that I work with has a higher level of certification in human design than I do. And she's been coming to me for years. She knows more about human design than I do. But what I do is I help her with the deconditioning aspect so that she can live into the design. So, you know, people who know something, some level of knowledge about human design, and they're really determined to make the world a better place by being themselves, they're usually coaches or therapists or mentors or leaders of some description. So then they can then lead and coach and guide their own people better. Not surprisingly, I get a very high percentage of projectors who I adore. But I also get people of all types, not manifestors very often because I don't like being told what to do.
even though you live with one.
Yes, even though I live with one. He doesn't like being told what to do either. He's very good at like pushing back and ignoring me with all his deaf gates. But yeah, you know, over the years, I've coached so many different configurations of charts. But what they have in common is like a real desire to live into their design, to understand it better and to live into it. And they like listening to me talk, you know, they're my people. So yeah. And so we can do really beautiful tailored work with people then. And I love that because I love that, you know, three sessions in a row and they're all different, even if they're projectors, every one of them is different because I'm taking into consideration their nature as per their chart, but also how they've been nurtured. What was their childhood like? What are the bullshit stories that are coming out of their mouth that I can sort of point out to them of like, oh, look, there's this thing going over here. Are you aware of it? Do you want to do something about it? It's getting in the way of you living your design, you know? And so some people I can do sort of one or two levels down in terms of work. And then the people who have been coming to me for years, I can do really deep work with. And it's incredibly, I feel incredibly privileged when I get to do that. People share all sorts of things with me and I just feel, you know, they feel safe with me to be really vulnerable. And I just feel again and again, a combination of grateful and extremely privileged that I get to be that safe space for people. And I think I also feel really proud because my ability to be this authentic, as you spoke to, but also to have turned myself into such a safe space for so many people has come through doing the really fucking ugly, uncomfortable, scary work again and again and again over years, because I didn't used to be like this, but I'm pretty proud of who I am now.
I'm proud of who you are now too.
Thanks, sweetheart.
And the safe space is what it always rings through to me. You're a safe space. You're a safe space to land. And you and I, even that time when we caught up, it was just like, you're a safe space. It's just like nervous system could relax. I didn't feel like you were probing me. It was okay. It's a safe space. You're a safe space. And I thank you.
And for the projectors listening, I'm only a safe space because I know when I have an invitation and I don't friggin' overstep the mark when I haven't been invited. Because otherwise, as projectors, we're not a safe space. If we probe when somebody hasn't invited us, when they don't want us, then we become the exact opposite of a safe space. So it's really knowing how to follow our strategy. For me, how to follow my strategy. And I don't get it perfect all the time, but I get it more right more often than ever before.
Yeah, you do. And lastly, before we wrap this up, you came into my orbit, let's use that word, with the Reflector love letter. And if anybody has not listened to that, it's beautiful. It made me cry. And I think it's a huge thing in our little, you know, inner community of just that Reflector love letter. And publicly, I'd like to thank you for that, because it's a beautiful, I'm going to share it in the show notes, that thing, that YouTube, a video, what do we call it? Whatever it is. And that's how I found you, because I was just like, wow, this is beautiful. So thank you for that. Thank you for seeing us.
Welcome. It is my pleasure, and it is a delight to see reflectors. It really is. Well, when they're having a good time, that is.
Well, you
when they have some sense of how to be their own unique, quirky self.
Yes. Until you fuck us off, and then we're going to be in your face and say, oi.
No, then I still like you too. it's just the struggling, but it's true for every type. When anyone is trying really hard to be something they're not, you know, I like all the fierceness. I like all of the different expressions that a person can be, including a reflector. And it's a very different experience to receive somebody when they're, you know, bumbling their way forward, being the most authentic they can be, as opposed to so shut down following the program, you know, just in the matrix, no idea that they're just doing life like everyone else. When people are awake or waking up, that surprise and delight, it's fun to engage with.
Well, I want to thank you for coming on and accepting my invitation time and time again after our bumbling with the USB stick. And I'm just like, hey, here you go. I'm just going to send you this link. Book in. And you did. You accepted straight away. I was just like, oh. So it was my delight and surprise that you accepted so quickly. So thank you. Thank you for being here. Thank you for talking to me. Thank you for being vulnerable and honest. Thank you for just being you.
Thanks, Megan. Thanks for having me on the show.
You're welcome.